And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. Pardon me. It's Monday, January 15th, 2018. Start of a whole brand new week. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, ready to answer the phone. You'll have to forgive my voice. I'm still on the tail end of this bug. The malady definitely is lingering on. And I'm getting much better. Claire, unfortunately, still dealing with her back. And, you know, we're taking it to the chiropractor again on Wednesday. Today is Martin Luther King Day, national holiday, and along with all the celebrations, it's worth going back and looking at what Martin Luther King Jr. accomplished, read some of his speeches, and also look at how viciously the FBI went after him. At a time when the White House did not want the civil rights movement to make any more progress because it was aligning with the anti-war movement. So it's worth looking at that. And don't forget, the King family actually filed a civil lawsuit and held a trial, and the jury unanimously concluded that Dr. Martin Luther King was killed by a conspiracy of multiple individuals, not just the crazed lone nut, James Earl Ray. who spent his entire life in prison denying that he'd done it. Obviously, by now you've heard that Saturday we had a false alarm on our emergency management system here in Hawaii, and it did get a little crazy for a while. I'm just here at home. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, and watching a little TV, and all of a sudden the emergency warning system comes up. And normally when that comes on up, it's because there's a storm coming in or a tsunami or something else like that. In this case, we got the message, ballistic missile headed toward Hawaii, seek shelter immediately. This is no drill. And I'm going, what? And I'm listening out the window because a couple of months ago, they set up that nuclear attack warning siren system, and it was not sounding. It was quiet. So I switch the TV to a local TV news channel, nothing. Turn on a radio to my favorite radio news station, nothing. And so the first thing I'm thinking is, this was a hack job. Somebody hacked on into the system just to have a little fun with this. And I posted an article to What Really Happened saying somebody's played a nasty joke on Hawaii. Then all of a sudden, the sirens down around the base at Pearl Harbor, they started to go off. And at that point, Claire and I thought this might actually be real, and Republic Broadcasting is going to have to find a new on-air talent in the immediate future. And when they say seek shelter immediately, they mean shelter in place. Well, we're in our home, but it's not like it's any protection against a nuclear attack. And fortunately, a few minutes later, the TV news came on saying, no, no, it's all a mistake. It's all a huge, big mistake. But a lot of people did panic, running out of buildings, getting down into the basement of concrete parking structures. Any building that had a basement, the people were flooding into that. There's a video of a Hawaii family actually putting their kids down into the storm drain system, just took off the manhole cover, person hole cover. Apologize to the liberals, and they put the kid down in there, and there was a high degree of panic. The pastor of Claire's church said that he had hidden out in his closet with his wife and his dog for about 5 minutes, and then eventually they got the word this had been a false alarm. Now, the official story is that the user interface on the Hawaii Emergency Management System is not well designed. And it literally has a pull-down menu with two items. One is test missile alert, and the second one is send missile alert. And apparently somebody just hit that wrong menu item, and it was gone. And it happened just as the shift was changing. So the person who had sent the message got up out of his chair and was heading out and didn't realize he'd done it until his own phone started singing the message. So emergency management agency got out about 15 minutes after it happened, posted an alert on their board. But for some reason, it took 38 minutes for the emergency management agency to send out a corrected message. And for most people, that's when they first found out this was all a hoax. So that was a very long 38 minutes for a lot of people. I understand a lot of drivers were heading up the H2 to the north part of the island at very high speed, and HPD's handing out speeding tickets like crazy. But it was very, very, very serious. Now, they're still not identifying the person who did this. They're saying it's an honest mistake. They're not going to be fired, but they are going to be reassigned. But I think if this story is true, there needs to be like a second checkbox. Are you sure you want to send out the missile alert? I mean, it takes two clicks to completely empty the trash on my desktop. Why isn't that kind of a safety built into the system? I imagine that it will be in the very near future. All right, we're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network, and we're talking about Saturday's false alarm of a ballistic missile threat coming into Hawaii. And it did thankfully turn out to be a false alarm, but for some people, for as long as 38 minutes, they thought it was the real deal. And apparently people are so angry that Hawaii's Emergency Management Agency is actually getting death threats. People are very angry. And just along with the anger is the fact they've destroyed their own credibility. The next time there's an emergency alert, we won't know if it's real or not. So that is a big problem. Now, there are two good things that have come out of this. And the first is that those Hawaiians who were not preparing to survive a nuclear attack are now preparing. And this little survival company we know up there over by the Tony Autoplex, I'm sure he's doing a land office business right now. The second thing to come out of this, and I hope it's felt as strongly on the mainland as it is here in Hawaii, nuclear war just went from an abstract concept to something concrete, something that could really happen. Because people were walking around saying, wow, this just got real. Nuclear war, and people are going to die. Our state's going to be destroyed. And maybe out of this scare, people are going to wake up and start demanding the government stop this reckless path to war with North Korea, with Iran, with Russia, with China, before we get these alerts for real. And I hope you'll join me in on that, because, again, we only thought it was real for about maybe 5 minutes. But for a lot of people, it was 38 minutes, and it did feel real. We really, for 5 minutes there, we thought our lives were over, and that is definitely going to color your perceptions. Okay, article coming out of Natural News, 3 life-changing lessons to learn from Hawaii's false ballistic missile warning. And basically, lesson number one is the government is beyond incompetent. Yeah, and they blew it. They absolutely blew it. And they were basically having a drill, and they hit the wrong button, and the software did not have a second safety to say, are you really sure you want to do this? Second lesson is that people lose their minds, and almost nobody is prepared for anything unexpected. Because let's be honest, in all of this rhetoric against North Korea, and it was toning down lately. And so people saying, no, they couldn't come here. They couldn't get, well, you know, they've got a missile that can reach the mainland now, and that means they can reach Hawaii. And there isn't much you can do to prepare here in Hawaii, because pretty much everything is congealed lava, and digging a fallout shelter or a bomb shelter is extraordinarily difficult. But, you know, obviously having prepper supplies, that's a good thing. And all of a sudden, all the local people who were making fun of prepping, they're not laughing anymore. They're realizing it could get real. And then finally, basically, question number three, it's time to start thinking. What are you going to do if there is a nuclear war with North Korea, with China, with Russia? Now, North Korea's nuclear weapons so far are very small, so there's a good chance the vast majority of people on Oahu would survive the attack. If the attack hit Pearl Harbor, we'd lose our windows and a couple of other things. But Further away, Honolulu, the North Shore, they would be just fine. Unfortunately, Russia and China have far larger warheads. A Russian strike on Pearl Harbor, Claire and I would not survive that. The Chinese, because their missiles are not as accurate, they go for really big warheads. And just one of them, their standard nuclear missile warhead, would literally melt this entire island into green glass. And I used to tell that to people, and it was like, again, an abstraction. Now, all of a sudden, it's real. And I can imagine that probably the week before Pearl Harbor happened, there was actually a warning in the newspaper that Japan was going to attack. And I have to imagine that the people back then, during that week before the attack actually came, they were feeling the same way. It went from being something that was happening far away to something very real and very present. The other thing Hawaiians are now aware of is what it's like to be a Palestinian and live under the constant threat of bombs from above. Now, since we're on the subject, we need to go back and look at the Trump administration's nuclear policy review, because it actually makes nuclear war more likely. It's authorizing the use of nuclear weapons in response to non-nuclear attack. It's pushing the idea of preemptive strikes. It's authorizing a whole new generation of small, what are called usable nuclear weapons, little tiny ones, as opposed to the big city busters. So once again, we're in a nuclear arms race, and we're building more and more of those warheads. And yet, if the United States or Russia were to detonate 10% of the existing stockpile, there would be enough radiation to exterminate all life on Earth. We let the nuclear genie out of the bottle, and we better find a way to get him back in, because we really are playing with an extinction-level event. Now, Hawaii's Representative Tulsi Gabbard is out there blaming the U.S. government for all this tension with North Korea that had everybody primed and ready to panic when that alert went out. And she's absolutely right. The U.S. is the aggressor here. The U.S. has been provoking North Korea, as it provokes so many other countries. North Korea has made it very clear their nuclear arsenal is aimed only at the United States of America. They're not targeting South Korea. They're not targeting Japan. They're not targeting Russia or China. North Korea sees the United States as an existential threat. And we need to back off of this. I was hoping that maybe our false alarm might get Trump thinking, but apparently the only thing he tweeted out was a reminder that this was a failure of a state agency, not a federal agency. Speaking of a federal agency, one little interesting thing came out of this story. Apparently, one of the reasons it took 38 minutes for the Emergency Management Agency to get the retract message out was they had to consult with FEMA. And maybe they were making sure there really wasn't a missile coming in, but it could have been done a lot faster. And I think that's what people are so angry about. First of all, the mistake was made that scared everybody. And second of all, that it was allowed to go on for as long as it did. Somebody should have just sat down at the keyboard the second after that message went out and said, sorry, false alarm, testing system was a goof. 38 minutes long. Okay, now, Maxine Waters is out there on the warpath demanding that racist, flawed, unfit, ignorant, hopeless bigot Donald Trump be impeached for a name calling. She was out there on Meet the Press, just screaming her head off. And Maxine, there is a reality of life that you are going to have to come to accept. Name calling is not an impeachable offense. Being racist is not an impeachable offense. We've had a lot of racist presidents, but they're just out there. But, you know, the good news is the more you have people like Maxine Waters out there just ranting and raving, the more sane it makes Donald Trump look in comparison. And everybody's still arguing about what he said in this immigration meeting without really paying attention to the substantive issues of the meetings. But let's not forget back in 2013, during a debate in the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Lindsey Graham called Mexico and other Latin American nations hellholes, and nobody said anything about it. Nobody said anything about it. The outrage is just being very, very selective. it's got to be very rough for Donald Trump to realize he's surrounded by people and a corporate media and politicians who are spending every waking moment waiting for Donald Trump to say or do something that can be turned against him. It's amazing here. Now, as you know, Senator David Perdue, when he was on ABC News last week, he repeatedly said the meeting had been grossly and totally misrepresented in the press. And standing in stark contrast with Senator Dick Durbin and Lindsey Graham, who are out there saying that, yes, Trump did use that exact phrase. But this other senator who was there saying, no, he doesn't recall Trump using that exact wordage. But again, the wordage isn't the issue. The issue is the open borders policy and getting a more responsible immigration system set up. Now, they're all up in a fury over DACA. And they're saying it's probably not going to happen. Trump is out there saying the Democrats don't want it to happen. They're talking about a shutdown Friday. And you need to remember something. When Barack Obama set up DACA, he said it was temporary. When he wrote the executive order, he said, now let's be clear. This is not amnesty. It is not immunity. This is not a path to citizenship. This is not a permanent fix. This is a temporary stopgap measure. Well, it's been a lot of years, and it doesn't seem to have really eased the problem of illegal immigration. So it was temporary. Let's let it go. Now, Rosemary Jenks, who is director of government affairs for Numbers USA, in an interview with Breitbart News said, Democrats have an interest in maintaining the status quo on immigration to ensure future Democratic voters. They are now out there admitting it. They pried the borders open. They're not going to let them be shut. They're bringing in all these people to vote Democratic this November, even though as non-U.S. citizens, they're not supposed to vote. But this is why the Democrats keep fighting against voter ID laws. They need all those illegal immigrants and those refugees to vote for them, because there are over 30 Republican members of the House of Representatives who have announced they're not going to run again. They want to move on to other things. There's a lot of open seats, and the Democrats could take the House of Representatives. And if they have a majority in the House of Representatives, yeah, they can vote through articles of impeachment. It may not hold up in the Senate, but they're out to get Trump any way that they can. Lewandowski is out there saying basically exactly the same thing, that there's going to be a real problem in government if the Democrats take back control of the House, which they're unfortunately at this point expected to do, because it'll be not just the threat of an impeachment over some kind of trumped up charge. And I notice they're still out there pushing Russian collusion, despite the absence of any evidence. But they will be obstructionists. They're not going to let Donald Trump do anything or change anything, because that's what they want to campaign on in 2020. Look at all the promises Donald Trump made, and he didn't carry out any one of them. So that's what's going on. We're just watching the feed on Fox News, and they ran a blurb for Tucker Carlson's show tonight. And it looks like he's taking on this issue about deliberately flooding the country with illegal immigrants in order to swing the election toward the Democrats. And it is a serious problem. And they're committing a crime. They're committing two crimes. They commit one crime when they step across that border without the appropriate paperwork. And they commit the second crime when they vote in our elections, because non-citizens are not allowed to vote. That's why there's supposed to be a voter ID. I mean, the Democrats, in the name of hanging on to power, are selling out the laws of this country. They're literally selling the country itself out to all these imported voters. They'll take anybody. MS-13 gang members, contagious, psychotics, people fleeing prosecution for crimes. Now, according to an article that we have out of Breitbart, if the Democrats were to take control of the House this November, it's an absolute sure thing they would vote Nancy Pelosi back into the speakership. And I think a lot of people would be very afraid of that, given some of the displays of lack of clarity in her speech recently, especially because as Speaker of the House, she's third in line in the presidential succession. If both the president and vice president are incapacitated, the Speaker of the House assumes the Oval Office, and there is a scary thought. Now, Jeff Bezos is out there. He's all in favor of DACA, and he's getting ready to donate $33 million in college scholarships to DACA students. Does it not anger you that these refugees and immigrant students are being given scholarships while American students are forced to go to student loans to go to school? That does not strike me at all as being fair. Article over here in Zero Hedge, David Stockman, basically saying that the Democrats are becoming the party of the immigrant, of the refugee, of the Muslim. And we've seen them. They've literally gone on a warpath, demonizing conservative white people. We're the enemy now. And Stockman is concerned, with unfortunately little justification, that this whole situation could eventually morph into a racial, ethnic, civil war on the soil of this country. I would hate to see that happen. Now, getting into the domestic political situation, remember a while back, Fusion GPS founder Glenn Simpson had sort of justified the dossier, the Russian dossier, by saying that the FBI had a source inside the Trump campaign who verified much of the information. And he testified before Congress with that, and he repeated the claim in a New York Times op-ed on January 2nd. But today, Fusion GPS is retracting that statement, saying that Simpson mischaracterized the source. In other words, there is no corroboration. It was all just made up. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Mike in Kentucky, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Doesn't seem like the story adds up about that Hawaii missile thing on a couple of fronts, but it seems to me like they could have just as easily said, went ahead and pushed the button for the drill and had a second message go out. But the other thing that they've done by going to these, I don't know, you've probably heard it, when these emergency activation notification networks, EAN or whatever they're calling it now, used to be the old EBS system. You had human beings at every stage of the game. You know, you'd have a master regional station or a 911 center or something would send out these dispatches, and every time a station down the line got one, they would have to decide whether it applied to their area or not and rebroadcast it. They've increasingly automated this, and you'll hear the modem sounds when these go off. If you listen to the weather radio, you hear the like, whatever it's called. There's a nickname for it, but it just sounds like an old dial-up modem, sort of. It's bzz, 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 bzz. And then the
It is a modem. It's not a telephone computer modem. It is for maritime radios with the digital capacity. And so along with the vocal report, they're also getting a text report. Our emergency system here in Hawaii does have zones because if there's a storm coming on in, only the area that's going to be affected by the storm gets the notification. They don't alert the entire state for anything like that. But in this case, the entire state did get the alert. And part of the problem was it happened right at a shift change. And the other part of the problem is, for whatever reason, the Emergency Management Agency had to go to FEMA, which doesn't have a reputation for extreme speed, before they sent out the retraction. But I'm in agreement with you. If they had just, the instant they realized they'd done it, if they'd sent out the retraction, all would have been well. We're talking with Mike in Kentucky. We're talking about Saturday's false alarm and why it was allowed to go on for 38 minutes before a retraction was sent out over that same emergency notification system. Somebody is trying to kookify the whole story by putting out the claim that there really was a ballistic missile inbound. Had it hit, it was to be blamed on North Korea, but the missile either failed or was shot down, and they just decided to hush the whole thing up. But again, the reason I didn't panic when I saw the notification was because the siren system wasn't going at that time, and there was nothing on the local TV news or local radio news. And if there had been a real threat, everybody would have been notified. Everybody would have been talking about it. So it's somebody else just having fun and putting out fake news to make us all look silly. So, Mike, you got anything else you want to share with us?
Well, do you have a weather radio every Wednesday?
Yes, I do.
They test those weather radios, and every now and then I hear, I don't get to see them, but there's a banner that'll pop up on, usually on Wednesdays. If it's a fair weather day, you can listen sometime after 11 a.m. local time and sometime before about 1 o'clock. You'll hear that old legacy tone from beep, the EBS tone that goes off for like 20 seconds or something. And then you'll hear those modem sounds like I'm talking about. And then on the cable or some TV stations, you'll see a banner pops up and it says, you know, a station in the network is doing a required weekly test.
We get that here.
That system they could have used. We had an incident that, as far as I know, has never been explained here, where we got a weird message across the cable, and I started getting calls saying, "What's going on?" That said, you know, it said the interstate's going to be closed from 3:05 to 3:17, and I said, "That's very unusual." And it was announced like 3 or 4 hours early. I think it was like 11 or 12 o'clock on a Friday or some odd day when they wouldn't have been testing it. And so I started calling around, and sure enough, some other stations had got the message and chose not to broadcast it because it was not in their market. But the Weather Service never got it, and one of the main stations, radio stations around here, did not get it. But within a couple of hours, or not even a couple of hours, I got a call back from a local 911 center and says, "What is this you're putting out about the interstate being closed?" And I said, "I'm not putting it out. People called me asking about it." And I said, "I can't originate such messages like that." But if you remember, there was a TV show, Dark Angel, when the sci-fi first launched with Jessica Alba.
Yes.
And Michael Weatherly, I think, the guy that's called Bull on TV right now. Anyway, that's one of the things he was doing, was hacking into the emergency broadcast system in that show. He played a guy in a wheelchair, and he was always putting out his manifesto using that system. And this, I think, is prime evidence. They've got all their eggs in one basket with this one computer, which is hackable.
Well,
if you believe William Benning.
Mike, it's not one computer. It's a whole bunch of link computers. Origination is guaranteed. We know where the problem began, and we know who did it. I mean, we're not being told the guy's name, only that he's being reassigned. And our system here in Hawaii works the way you describe. On television sets, there's a banner that pops up at the top. There are three loud klaxon-type sounds, and then there's a synthetic voice that basically reads the message for the vision-impaired people. That's how it works. And on portable electronic devices, tablets, and cell phones, you'll get a pop-up and an alert sound as well. And it works very, very rapidly. So, and again, there was no hack. There was no missile attack. Somebody just hit the wrong menu item when they were running a drill, and the drill accidentally went live. Mike, thanks a lot for the phone call. We're going to let you go now and switch over to Steve Elkins in... Steve, yes, of course. I keep wanting to say you're in the city of Elkins. What's on your mind today?
Question is, how Bradley Manning, Chelsea Manning, could run for public office? You know, he's running for a senator seat in Maryland. How's that possible if you've been convicted and sentenced for espionage to be a qualified... to run? I would thought he'd be, that would definitely invalidate him for being a possible running.
Did he get a pardon?
Yeah, even though he was pardoned, was pardoned on his sentence. He was actually what commuted the sentence, which didn't okay. pardon the crime itself. But I was surprised.
You're right. That felony conviction says he can't run.
Right. And he's running, supposedly, correct?
Well, you know, these days the political parties just don't play by the rules anymore. But whoever's running against Manning, they need to make a big issue about this. That Manning was convicted of a felony. Well, you know something? I'm not sure. I know that the severity of crime varies depending upon the level of the office that you're going for. But I'm pretty sure that people convicted of a felony can't run for the Senate. I'll have to look that up on the next commercial break.
Now, how was Marion Barry allowed to run again? I thought he was charged with a felony, and he ended up going back into office, too, after his prison sentence. So, I don't know. I'm kind of confused between both those cases. It seemed to me he would not be able to run, Manny. But
yeah, I'll look into that on the next commercial break, okay?
All right. Hey, thanks, Michael. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go and switch over to Philip in Virginia. Aloha, Philip. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, aloha, Mike. Two things real quick. One of them, subject we already talked about. I think that was interesting about what you noticed there with the false alert there where you live and how the system didn't function normally.
Actually, the system functioned normally. The people running the system hit the wrong button and then took too long to fix the problem.
Well, you mentioned that usually the siren near your house goes off and you didn't notice that. Do you recall what the usual instance is?
The sirens are a separate system. This system that happened on Saturday was the one that specifically sent out messages to electronic devices and television sets.
Okay, so in a normal test, do the sirens usually go off simultaneously at the base and at your place at the same time?
No, the sirens are all tested on the first Monday of the month at 11:30 in the morning. You can hear them over the broadcast. That's the only time the sirens are tested, so we know automatically that it is a test. When they do the test of the emergency warning system over the electronic devices, that is run independently, and they don't run the sirens with it. You know, precisely so that people don't hear the warning tone and the sirens and think that something's going on. I'm still waiting to find out if anybody actually suffered physical harm on Saturday, if they got crushed in a crowd or if somebody had a heart attack, because that would be a major lawsuit right there.
Absolutely. I'm sure there's something like that that took place. But one other point about that real quick, they're conveniently shielding whoever it was. I think they might be suffering, it's possible with all of this resentment and contempt for Donald Trump, because a lot of the comments that came in the aftermath of this have been anti-Trump. You know, they want to blame Trump for this, you know, because the automatic fear was linked to North Korea, you know, and so I wouldn't put it past, you know, another one of these people with suffering from TDS deliberately doing something like that just to make him look bad. Now, getting on to my other topic, getting on with the vote fraud, didn't you report some time ago that the Republicans and Democrats actually have a deal in writing that they can't investigate each other?
No, it's actually only one way, and what it is, it's called a right of consent, and apparently there was a lawsuit some years ago involving election fraud, and apparently the Republicans got too aggressive in investigating the Democrats, and the Democrats sued, and as part of the final court settlement, the GOP actually has to have the permission of the Democratic National Committee to conduct any more investigations into voting integrity. It's utterly, utterly ridiculous. It's a license to steal elections by the Democrats.
Yeah, I guess possibly one reason why Trump shut down his investigation is he might have somebody might have informed him about it and said, well, it's just useless then.
No, no, no. The court order was only on the Republican Party. The president is a separate entity. Trump just apparently just gave up. Apparently, his Election Integrity Commission was being totally stonewalled by every state in the union, which tells us how widespread this election fraud problem has become. And he's supposedly turning it over to the Department of Homeland Security, but they're not going to do anything about it. You know, this we the people have lost this country. We've lost any control over what this country is doing. The 17 years of constant wars prove it. We're living in a dictatorship. It's trying to pretend that it's still a republic, but it is a dictatorship.
You're absolutely right. And anyway, oh, that I forgot. That's a conspiracy theory. Anyway, aloha, Mike. Thanks.
All right, thanks an awful lot. The phone lines are now open. And getting on back to domestic politics and intrigues. We're into the intrigues. We need Twilight Zone theme music going here now. Apparently, John Podesta, Hillary's campaign manager, is now also popping up in the middle of Barack Obama's illegal spying on Trump and that phony dossier. And apparently, Podesta was part of that chain that provided that dossier to FISA to request permission to spy on candidate Trump. And apparently, the question is being raised if the dossier was used as support for Obama and Hillary spying on candidate Trump, or if it was used to obtain permission to spy on the Trump team after the spying was already in place to try and make it look legitimate. Now, both of these would be criminal acts due to the dossier being a fraud, and using the government to spy on political opponents is it's criminal as well, and it's beyond belief. But I remember that this dossier showed up just after Donald Trump claimed to have found evidence of spying, surveillance, at his campaign headquarters. So I think the second version is what's going on. The spying was ongoing, and they came up with this Russian dossier and a FISA warrant to make it look like it was a legitimate criminal investigation and therefore could proceed. Now, John McCain has been identified as the person who ferried this bogus dossier over to the FBI. And it raises three questions. And the first question is, did McCain know about Fusion GPS playing the role in compiling the dossier? Because Fusion GPS does not have a record for accuracy. They're an opposition research firm, but a lot of what they come up with is just really well-written propaganda and hoaxes. The second question basically is, did McCain know that this Trump dossier was funded by the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign? And finally, why did McCain feel he needed to provide the dossier to the FBI leadership in the first place? A lot of skullduggery going on over there. Now, apparently, last Friday, the Department of Justice finally turned over all documents related to the Russian dossier to the House Intelligence Committee. 1.2 million documents have been generated in trying to verify this Russian dossier or discredit it or just find out where it came from and where it went. So it looks like the House Intelligence Committee is finally starting to do a decent job over there. Now, last week, we had this 11-count indictment handed down on Uranium One. The indictment is against Mark Lamber. He's the former co-president of a Maryland-based transportation company that provides services for the transportation of nuclear material to customers in the United States and abroad. And he was indicted as part of the Uranium One bribery scheme. In his case, bribing a Russian official. But as it turns on out, this guy is a longtime associate of the Clintons and the Obama administration. And so it's all starting to come out. If this guy turns, if this guy sings, it's going to start coming apart here. Now, strange Clinton connections emerge after Uranium One indictment. Apparently, this same company also managed transport for megatons and megawatts program under Bill Clinton. So there's the Clinton connection to this guy who was part of the Uranium One deal. They can't say, we don't know him. We never had anything to do with him. All right, let's take a phone call. Jim in New Mexico, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael. Yeah, you know, I was just considering this alert that the state of Hawaii has to, you know, that would actually inform the citizens there if it's not a drill. You would think that the White House would receive that same message at the same instant. I mean, it seems
no,
to me
because
the, state...
the message is not no, because the message isn't coming from the top of the command structure, the top of the alert structure, which would be FEMA and the Pacific Command. Those are the two mm-hmm. sources for these kind of warnings out here, is FEMA and the Pacific Missile Command. If they issued the alert, yes, the White House would get it immediately. But they didn't. This was a low-level technical goof that activated just one of the alert systems here in Hawaii. And there's no reason that Trump would get that message because his cell phone is not located within Hawaii.
Well, you think it... I don't know. It seems to me, though, if the state is detecting an incoming missile... that it would work the way back up.
The state didn't detect an incoming missile. There was no missile. The state did not detect an incoming missile. Somebody just hit the wrong button.
Okay, Michael, thank you.
All right, thanks an awful lot. And we're going to come up here on a commercial break. So I'm going to put off the next call until after the commercials here. By the way, as investigations crank up over around the Clinton Foundation, now getting on back to Chelsea Manning running for the Senate in Maryland, apparently the granting of clemency restores your civil rights, including the right to run for office. And while supposedly a convicted felon loses their right to have guns, ability to hold an office of public trust, apparently it's mostly left up to the states. And Maryland last year passed a law saying that, yes, a convicted felon can run for the Senate. So I guess Chelsea's on her way. And it's another reminder that we seem to have a government that's being overwhelmed by criminals. All right, let's take another phone call. Bao in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, what's going on? It's my first time actually checking this network out.
Okay.
But yeah, I've been listening to some of the things you're saying as far as the state of everything, and it has kind of a parasitic feel to it, doesn't it, Michael? Or
I'm sorry, what has a parasitic feel?
All of it, the government, what's going on in you know, court systems and...
Yes. Yes, the government is a parasite. The government is a parasite. The government does not produce anything. It simply takes and redistributes and keeps a bit of it for itself.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know what it is, but you know how, like, you can feel energy sometimes, like when you're at a big event, you can, like, feel energy inside of a building?
Yes.
I just, this whole environment I'm in just feels very parasitic to me as far as, you know, everything around me.
Okay. Well, I agree with you. Anyway, thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go and get on back here to the news. All right. As we started to say before the last commercial break, there is a new investigation into the Bill Hillary Clinton Foundation, and this may be a little bit more serious. Apparently, there were attempts to launch other investigations earlier, including a call for the IRS to look into the issue of whether they really qualify as a 501c3 nonprofit foundation. And the IRS just basically said, no, we're too busy going after the Tea Party people. But if this is a serious investigation, if things start to come on out, then there are some people out there who are going to have to start worrying, such as Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. Because due diligence doesn't end when the Clinton charities cash your check. And Buffett and Gates and the other big donors may find themselves entangled with what the Clintons were really doing with that money. And we know that very little of it actually went to charity. We know that what they were doing down in Haiti was just shameful. In fact, James Woods just came on out on Twitter and said, "You looted Haiti like a peg-legged pirate." And he's absolutely right. Now, Bill Clinton has been triggered by allegations that the Clinton Foundation's Haiti funds were used for Chelsea Clinton's wedding, and he's out there saying it's a personal insult to me and to Chelsea and to Mark. Well, yeah, I imagine it would be. But, yeah, when you live your life like that, that's called the how dare you defense. But there's no public audit, and there needs to be. There needs to be accountability. What happened to all that money? Oh, they're still pushing that thing about Donald Trump is going crazy, but there's a bit of a pushback.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.